We'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together to worship you and to meditate upon another section of your precious word. We pray that you will fill all of our hearts with your Holy Spirit and that he will give all of us an understanding of your word and reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, and strengthen our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. And we pray that in these last dangerous days of dark deception, your word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to guide us to eternal glory with our Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming all those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, which basically is our whole congregation this morning, except my wife and myself. A service is coming this morning from our home on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the last part of verse 12. And we will be reading the whole verse first here to give us just the context. In the King James Bible, it reads this way. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. We are working our way toward what, in my opinion, is the most serious warning that we as children of God have in all of Scripture. To start out here, a little thought that in Scripture there are words that have what we could perhaps call double meanings. One of the main characteristics of an elect child of God is his or her love for the Word. The Holy Spirit has given us a book which is his own inspired Word. Not just the thoughts are inspired, but the very words. And the approach that we should have towards Scripture is spelled out for us clearly in the opening verses of Proverbs chapter 2. And there we read this: My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Anything less than this is going to have very, very serious repercussions. Now, the more we study the Bible under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the more we learn how he writes. We could call these things the tricks of the trade. And the more we learn about how the Holy Spirit writes, the more we will be able to understand what he has written. For example, there are some words which have a double meaning in Scripture. Now, sometimes they're used in a good sense, sometimes they're used in a bad sense. A few examples. The word leaven. Used in a bad sense, I believe, every time except once. A few examples of this in the great Passover chapter, Exodus chapter 12. This is the chapter where the children of Israel were given a birth as a nation. They were delivered from the power of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, where they had been captives and slaves for some 400 years. It wasn't an easy thing. Pharaoh did not easily let them go. It took 10 plagues, the 10th one being the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And the Passover lamb was slain there. The blood was put on the doorposts. And then there was this little bit about unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. We're looking at the word leaven. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Leaven. Don't eat it during that week of the Passover. The consequences for disobedience were very serious. Exodus 13:3. Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Leviticus 2, verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. The word meat there really means meal. For ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Mark 8, verse 15, and he charged them, that he is Jesus, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. There, leaven means false doctrine, false teaching. It's used in a very evil sense. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I believe that the word leaven is used in a bad sense every single time in Scripture, with one exception. And the exception is when the Son of God says in Matthew 13, verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This is talking about the mysterious growth of the kingdom of God. And often Christ was asked, when is the kingdom of God going to appear? His answer was, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You're not going to see it come. Neither shall they say, lo here, nor lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And you find the kingdom of God not in outward church buildings. You find the kingdom of God in the heart of God's people, in their hearts. And it works like leaven. The leaven hid in 3 measures of meal. Is that a reference to the body, soul, and spirit of a child of God? And that this leaven mysteriously works and permeates? That's how the Holy Spirit works. In a very secret and mysterious way, always connected with His Word, but usually invisible. You don't know it. You can't see it. The word lion, used in a bad sense. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. That's Jeremiah 4:7. Very meaningful, 1 Samuel 17:34. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. a lion attacking the flock. And the words of Peter, who knows what he's talking about from bitter experience, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But then it's used in a good sense. Now, way back in Genesis 49, beginning at verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. The word Judah means the praised one, the reason being that Jesus Christ was going to come from the tribe of Judah. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. A lion in a good sign, a good way, showing the power of the lion. And then Revelation 5, the opening verses. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah is none other than Jesus Christ. So a good sense and a bad sense and a good sense. And now we come to the text that we're looking at. And we find the word milk. This word is used in a very, very good sense. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Holy Spirit tells us this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, this is a verse all of us know. The word of God is compared to milk, and you and I should crave it as a newborn child wants the milk of his mother. The first thing a newborn child wants to do is to nurse. Now, in this sense, we should always remain as little children. Always desiring the milk of the word in the same way that a newborn desires to nurse the milk of his mother. Scripture is a very deep book, and at our best, in some places, we can only begin to scratch the surface of it. In this sense, we should always remain as little children, simply believing what the Father says because Dad says so. Father says so, not to be disrespectful. How often every believer, I don't care how old he is on this earth, is referred to as a child in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, we've looked at this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. That's Jesus talking. The children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through bondage of fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Again, calling every believer children, all believers children. Matthew 18 The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him. And he set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Speaking to grown-up disciples in John 13, verse 33, the Son of God said, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say unto you." And then 1 John 5, 21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." The most godly professors I ever had when I went to the seminary were very, very humble, humble men. There wasn't an ounce of pride or arrogance in them, at least that I could see. That's characteristic of true children of God. Sadly, a lot of people stop right here. But the word milk is also used in a bad sense, and we're running smack dab into this here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. The same Holy Spirit who says that we should crave milk as little children do now says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Here the word milk has a bad connotation. It's contrasted with strong meat. And being a child, a babe has a bad connotation. You've got to look at the context. Milk can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, depending upon what the Holy Spirit is talking about and how he's using it. He talks about the first principles of the oracles of God. These are the ABCs that we learned when we were sitting on the lap of our mother. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's the first thing we learned. The 23rd Psalm, another one. The very basic, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The ABCs of salvation, starting with the manger at Bethlehem and ending at the cross and the tomb and the resurrection. For the Old Testament Hebrews, the first principles of the oracles of God would be the Old Testament ceremonial laws, the things that God gave to Moses and that the children of Israel had followed now for hundreds of years. But all of a sudden, it was wrong. These things were overridden because the one that they pointed to had already come. Now they were to go on to further things. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, the Holy Spirit calls these things the weak and beggarly elements. And many people were still setting their hearts on these things. Most of them probably, undoubtedly, let's put it that way, most of them never really understood what these ceremonies meant anyway. They were gearing in on the outward performance of it, not looking to the fulfillment. Only the elect really saw what they meant. The oracles of God, that's talking about Holy Scripture. In Acts chapter 7, 38, Stephen calls these things the lively oracles. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. And just as a side note here, I know the millennium people believe and teach, most of them at least, that the church was absolutely unknown in the Old Testament. That the church is purely a New Testament thing. And you won't find the word church in the Old Testament. No, you won't. You will not. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, Stephen says, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the lively oracles given to us. You can't find the word church in the Old Testament, but look up the word congregation and find a lot about that one. And they were the church. And the lively oracles were given to the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. They're given to us also. Why are they lively? Because of their author. They're the words of the living God. The words of the living God. That's why they're lively. In respect of their use also, they're life-giving. They're life-giving. Moving on, it's kind of to try to summarize this just a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, Holy Spirit tells us this, children be not, or brethren rather, brethren be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men, or be grown-ups. We're supposed to be children when it comes to the ways of this world, the evil ways of the world. But when it comes to understanding, we shouldn't be sucking a bottle all of our life. We should grow. And instead of just having milk, we should grow to have meat. Be not children in understanding. Leave the basic principles of the oracles of God and start to grow into things that were more difficult. In the congregation in Corinth was a mess. It's a total mess. Anything that could go wrong did. And when Paul was writing to the congregation at Corinth in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he said this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it." When I first came to you, you didn't know anything about Christianity. So I started teaching you the very very basics of it, the ABCs. I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual because you weren't. You were carnal. So I fed you with milk instead of meat because at that time you weren't able to bear it. Now comes the sad part. Verse 2 ends, "Neither yet now are ye able." That was a real problem. This is the problem that the Hebrews had. We are moving toward the most serious warning that the Holy Spirit gives us in all of Scripture. It's going to come in chapter 6, but we're approaching it. And here the problem with the Hebrews is this. They have become dull of hearing. As we just kind of rehash a little bit, the epistle to the Hebrews was written about 30 or 31 years after Pentecost. And many of the Hebrew people undoubtedly were there at Pentecost. They knew about that. Some of these people had probably been converted. They were among the 3,000 converted at Pentecost. Some of them, more than likely, had heard the Son of God preach and teach. Many of them, if not all of them, had been taught by one of the apostles. People who had lived with Jesus Christ for 3 years and heard all of his sermons and all of his studies, his Bible studies. And they had taught the Hebrew people. These people had so many things going for them. And there were signs and wonders that the apostles performed. as indications that, what they're saying was true. Nobody else could do these things. For 30 years, they had had these things. And yet they were still drinking from a bottle of milk, still sucking from a bottle. That is a very, very dangerous situation for a person to be in when they've had that much contact with the Word of God. It shows the tragic result of having become dull of hearing. And this can happen so easily. Deception can creep into the heart without us even knowing it. It's a danger that every single one of us has to be aware of. This word was written for you and me. The arrow that the Holy Spirit is shooting here is shooting at our own hearts. Spiritual gains can be lost so very, very quickly without us even being aware of it. And it all gets back to a lack of contact with that word. This is why Christ prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he wasn't only talking about physical bread. He was talking about that too. But the spiritual bread was the main thrust. And the manna, as you know and I know, it fell out in the wilderness, and the children of Israel had to take the precious time that they had and go out and gather it every single day. And if they didn't, it rotted. Nothing less is demanded of you and me. Especially, you know, with the advantages that we have had, we have all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have all of the epistles. We have this precious, precious book of Hebrews, which we are being blessed with by able to go through verse by verse. And God willing, we'll finish it unless the Lord comes first or he stops it, one way or the other. We also have the book of Revelation, so we know how this whole thing is going to end up. We have had more blessings than any of the Old Testament people had, or even the people of the Hebrews. And Bibles are available. If you can't afford one, the Gideons will give you one. There just is no excuse for not having a daily contact with the Word. Unless we allow ourselves to become so busy that the one thing needful gets crowded out. And this can be a very, very serious condition. And this is why the Holy Spirit is leveling a very serious warning to us. Tragic results are going to follow if the condition is not corrected. So we'll have more on this next week. This time we'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we have a precious promise that comes to us from the lips of the Son of God himself. And the promise is this: which one of you fathers, if he has a son who asks for a piece of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a piece of meat, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So if we have not, it's because we ask not. Keep on asking and ye shall receive, he said. Keep on seeking and ye shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking will receive. And he that keeps on seeking will find. And to him that keeps on knocking, it will be opened unto him. But we have to do the keeping on asking. We have to meditate upon the word day and night. This is something a decision we can make one way or the other. And Holy Spirit, we can only do this through you. We are so easily distracted. So we pray for you to enter each heart, each of our members here at Water of Life, and create in us a clean heart and keep our priorities right, that we may be like Mary, godly Mary of Bethany, and sits at Jesus' feet every day hearing his word, because the results are going to be so tremendous. But the opposite of the coin is also true, that if we neglect these things and become dull of hearing, and the thing runs its course, the results will be tragic. We pray the prayer that our Savior has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. We'll close the service by singing hymn number 46 in the Lutheran hymnal.